Because they changed the timing on what they're doing, does anyone know what's happening even as we're sitting here? Correct. Final round of the Masters. This is Masters Week and Masters Weekend, and they're expected weather this afternoon. So rather than start in the afternoon for the leaders as they would normally do, the leaders went off before we ever started church this morning. But what I wanted to say about the Masters is if you ever watch it on television, which it's a wonderful thing to watch, but one of the best things about that's very unique to the Masters is you could be watching a guy who's getting ready to hit a shot, we'll say on the eighth hole, and the guy steps up to the ball, he's all ready to hit it. And then suddenly, nothing changes where he is, but there's this roar that comes from maybe over on the 15th hole or something. And it echoes across Augusta National. And the person has to back off because all of a sudden there's this cheer going on that they got no idea what it was, except they know something happened over there that made all those people so impressed and so happy that they went so crazy that their cheering has spilled over into the areas that surround where the thing actually happened. That is a wonderful illustration of the reality that when people are excited about something, they do not stay silent. When people are excited about something, you don't even have to be where they are to know that they're excited. You can hear them. You know it just from the sound that's coming from wherever they are. This day's Palm Sunday, we enter the greatest week of the Christian year. The most exciting, most important week of the Christian year. And it remembers the most important week in history. The most important week in the history of the world is what we're about to remember. And I meant to say that. Not the most important week in the history of the church, but the most important week in the history of the world. And I say it for this reason. If what we believe is correct, if we are right, and God came to earth as we profess, and God lived among us as we profess, and that God then chose to voluntarily suffer the indignity of arrest, and then the beating, and then the humiliation of death on a cross, and then to rise again from the dead. If we're right about all of that, it is the most important thing that's ever happened, and it's not close. There's no thing that you could say would be kind of nearby as the second place thing. It is the most important, most decisive thing in the history of creation. Here is the thing that I would say. We could stop the sermon here and I would have the idea to you. We can't be silent about this. This is too important and it's too critical to the world both then and now. We cannot be silent. Those cheers that I was talking about on Augusta National, where you're not actually at the site where they're happening, but they come rolling across. That should be coming out of every church everywhere this Sunday morning. There should be some version of that where people out there in the world go, what's going on over there? What are they so excited about? And it shouldn't just be on Palm Sunday, and it shouldn't just be on Easter. It should be every Sunday morning. That's what it ought to be like. Now, as Presbyterians, we have a deserved reputation as being a little reserved sometimes, a little to the quiet side where you might be able to be nearby to us and not know that we were there necessarily. But what I'm actually talking about here is not how loud the worship is. I'm not talking about how loud we get or how demonstrative we get. I'm talking about how much joy spills out of here because we are here. That doesn't take a bunch of noise, and it doesn't take a bunch of being demonstrative. It could certainly happen that way, but joy can come from any group of people assembled for the purpose of worshiping God. So the joy I am talking about is the kind of joy that changes lives. That what Jesus talked about when Jesus comes, the first thing that at the beginning of Mark's gospel, Jesus says this, I've come to change your hearts and minds. That's what he's all about, changing hearts and minds. And that's what Jesus continues to be about. And there is joy in that. And it should emanate from us. It ought to be unstoppable whether or not those doors happen to be open at this particular moment. The Palm Sunday story. Make no mistake about what's going on in the Palm Sunday story. This is not a random donkey, and it's not a random happening. It's not as though Jesus said, well, I guess we got to get in there somehow, and there's a donkey, and we can go. Jesus knows exactly what he's doing, putting together the Palm Sunday moment. Jesus has had his focus on, we're going to Jerusalem. And now here we are, just about to enter into Jerusalem. And he intends to do exactly what he does here. He sends two disciples into a village to find a colt. And they find a colt. And they ask for it, just as he said to. And they are given the colt. And they bring it back to Jesus, and Jesus gets on it. And Jesus rides that colt into Jerusalem. And a roar goes up, and the crowd goes crazy. They love it. And Jesus knew they would. Jesus knows the Old Testament, and Jesus knows that what he's doing is fulfilling prophecy in this action that he's taking. He's going back to the Old Testament prophet Zechariah. Zechariah talked about a king who would enter into the city on a donkey, and that king would enter in victory. And Jesus is saying, that king you've been waiting for, that king Zechariah talked about, hello! I'm that king. And the people know the scripture too. And that's why they're so happy. They don't cheer every time somebody rides into Jerusalem on a donkey. They recognize what's going on here. They know Jesus' backstory, that he's this guy who's been really active up in the Galilee. And now here he comes. And this is Jesus saying, I am who you think I am. I'm the Messiah. I am the king. The people along the parade route totally get it. They absolutely understand not just what they see in front of him, but they understand that what they see in front of them is the fulfillment of Old Testament scripture, just as Jesus intends it when he sends them off to go get that colt. They have been waiting for this. And you can tell from the way they respond that they are filled with joy. There is an absolute joy to what's going on when Jesus is on that donkey riding in and the people are singing their praises. They are singing a song. They are singing a specific song. You can go back and look at Psalm 118 and you will find where the people pull the things that they are singing to Jesus. Blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heavens. They're singing a song that they're seeing fulfilled before their eyes. Among the crowd, this joyous, raucous crowd welcoming this Messiah into Jerusalem, among the crowd there are Pharisees. The Pharisees have a different idea of how things should be going. They would like it quieter. They would like a little less raucous joy to be going on. So I have to tell you this. They may be well-intentioned. We can't just assume that because the Pharisees ask everybody to be quiet that they're bad guys. Part of what they may be doing is looking at this, and there's evidence of this in other scripture, that some of them are actually on Jesus' side, but they're worried about him. And they're saying, if you make a bunch of noise doing this right now, this week, Passover week, you come in like this on Passover week, everyone's going to notice. And we don't just mean these people that love you on this path. We mean the Romans. The Romans are going to notice, and that will not be good. And for some of them, they may not just like what's happening. They may not like the idea that Jesus is saying the Messiah you've been waiting for is me. Whatever is motivating them, Their words to Jesus are, "Teacher, scold your disciples. Tell them to stop." So that's the instruction. Tell these people to quiet down. Jesus' response, "I tell you, if they were silent, the stones would shout out." Now, I told you this probably before, but I love this story. And from standing on the Mount of Olives and looking at where Jesus would have entered into Jerusalem, that route, there are graves, Jewish graves, on the side of the Mount of Olives. And if you're there today, you would see that there's Jewish graves all up and down the side of the Mount of Olives. If you saw Schindler's List, at the very end of Schindler's List, you saw people going through and paying tribute to folks who were heroes for the folks who were involved in the Holocaust, folks who had risked their lives to save other lives. And the way that they paid tribute was they would place a stone on the grave of the folks to bear witness to that, the fact that they had been there and honored them. You see that all up and down this hill. That is a Jewish practice. You don't necessarily go and put graves, don't go put flowers on the grave. You go in and you put a stone to represent the reality that you were there. And so at this point in time, if we were standing there this day, again, there's graves all up and down. And you will see those stones on top of those graves. Some of those graves are not recent graves. A number of those graves go back even up into the time of Christ. So you can picture those graves being there at the time of Christ, doing this triumphal entry, and those stones on those graves. And Jesus saying, if they're quiet, even the stones might cry out. And my Jesus have been suggesting that if the living are quiet, even the dead who have gone on might cry out with joy at what is happening in this moment, as they bear witness. What is happening is too important to keep quiet about. It is actually impossible to keep quiet about. If it is such good news that rocks are going to speak, that rocks are going to shout, that is good news that cannot be kept quiet. So we come to a bit of a glitch in my theory here, though, that the good news is too good to be quiet about. I'm a preacher. I'm a preacher, Christian preacher. There's times where I'm absolutely quiet about it. Okay, I get up here and I talk to y'all about it. But there's times where maybe I'm in a line somewhere waiting for something, or I'm sitting next to somebody waiting for something to happen, or I just, whatever circumstance out there in everyday life, and I may have a perfectly wonderful opportunity to say something about this wonderful good news in a very natural way, and nothing comes out. I don't want to bother them. I don't want to invade their space. So what I'm saying is, this is a growing edge, for everybody in one way or another. Now, what I'm not talking about, I am not talking about uncomfortably forcing your beliefs on someone else in some awkward way. Too often when somebody like me says, we need to talk more about this and we need to express our joy, what we hear is, I got to go be pushy with someone and be obnoxious and get in someone's face. That is not what I'm asking you to do. That is not what Jesus is asking us to do. What I'm talking about is there's a way that we can be so filled with joy that we don't have to be in anybody's face for people to see that we're filled with joy. We live in such a way that our joy just radiates out from us, and it gives us natural opportunities to share what that joy is about and how others might experience that joy in their life as well. God has done things for me that the only honest and faithful response that I could possibly have is to be joyous and to find ways to share that joy. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. That was great news then, and it's great news now. Blessed is the peace that Jesus died to bring and to point us towards. Blessed is the story that we're celebrating and remembering this week, the story of his triumphal entry, the story of his arrest, the story of his death, and the story of his resurrection. Blessed are we all that Jesus, that same Jesus, is alive and well, and his peace will indeed reign, and death has been defeated. And that this whole week reminds us of that and points us to that and asks us to remember and celebrate that. So where's the joy? What gets in the way of the joy of something like that? Part of it is, who was it in the story that tried to get in the way? It was the Pharisees. Just as the poor you will always have with you, apparently the Pharisees you will always have with you. There are Pharisees who will be more than glad to tell you to tone it down a bit. Dial it back. Don't be quite so joyous. And here's the tricky thing about these modern day Pharisees. Not all of them are out there. Some of them live inside of me. Some of them live inside of us, asking us to doubt ourselves. Maybe we shouldn't say something here. Maybe we need to be quiet. Maybe we need to not say something in this particular situation. Tone it down. Hush. They're shushing us. Anybody like to be shushed? If you've lived any amount of time, you've been shushed at some point in your life. Being shushed is not a good thing. It's telling us, this is not the time or the place. Take this somewhere else. Telling us that the church building is a place for stuff like this. You should do that at church. Take that to church. Not out in the world where it's going to spill over into other people and you might look a little too joyful and maybe a little too weird. Don't want that. Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is a reminder that we cannot be too joyful. We cannot be too joyful. If there is ever a presence that should make us joyful, Jesus is that presence. Riding into Jerusalem that day, riding into our lives now, riding into our lives this morning, every morning, riding into our world that is so full of brokenness. And Jesus doesn't say, just let him go. Jesus rides into that mess. And that has got to be a source of joy and a source of hope. The king has arrived, and the king loves us so much that the king chooses to set everything aside and die for us. And the king, it turns out, is so powerful that when the king dies for us, that's not the end of the story. There's going to be life on the other side of that story. That's how amazing the king is. Let me tell you a quick story of a person who died this week. It's a person who, this was not on the evening news. This was not in the Courier Journal. Wasn't featured on the front page. This person is named Marie Goebel. Marie Goebel was 99 years old. Marie and Jimmy, her husband, had been married for more than 70 years. Just pause and let that roll over you for a moment. More than 70 years of their lives side by side, and I mean literally side by side. Marie was the matriarch of the First Presbyterian Church of Prestonsburg, Kentucky. And when I heard of her passing, I reflected on how much Marie Goebel taught me about faith. And how much she taught me about what a minister does and what a person of faith does. And I promise you, Marie Goebel never shared her faith in a way that made anyone feel uncomfortable. It just didn't happen. But I also promise you this, that Marie Goebel shared her faith every single day of her 99 years on earth. There was never a day goes by that her faith didn't shine out of her life somehow. It radiated out of her. It was who she was. The body of Christ this thing we are a part of, is not held together by preachers, and it's not held together by professors. It's not held together by religious leaders. It is held together by people like Marie, by people like you, who know Jesus, and whose lives become beacons of hope and conduits of the joy of being in a relationship with Jesus. And they can't keep quiet about it. They can't be silent. The children did it this morning. The children did it this morning in their wonderful way of, I'm going to watch the video later to see how many times people got a palm branch in the face as they were singing blessings to the one who comes in the name of the Lord. But they radiate joy and happiness. You all who participated in putting together the yard sale over these past several weeks, it is a joyous group doing hard work, but there is a joy that radiates out of that place when y'all are assembled over there doing what it is that you do. You love people, and your work together just emanates that love out. God loves you, and you know it, and you're not silent about it. It is possible that you, any one of you, multiple ones of you, may have done it this very day. You hugged somebody when you got here. You gave a word of encouragement to someone, and you didn't know how much they needed that word of encouragement, but it made all the difference. A kind act, something you didn't give a second thought to, but again, made a huge difference to somebody else. The call to us, the call to you this morning, is to give yourself over to being a part of that band of folks standing by Jesus as he goes by on that donkey, and offer him thanks and praise as he follows that Palm Sunday route into Jerusalem. Let us give up being silent for Lent. Give it up. Don't let the Pharisees shush you. Do not let them. Make a joyful noise. Shout your hosannas. Let your life say, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." Thanks be to God. Amen.